I want you to look back in Colossians. We're going to look at chapter 3, but before we get to chapter 3, I want you to look back at chapter number 2, verse number 13. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this section, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, and the Bible says in verse number 13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together." And I tried to explain some old toy that many of you didn't understand what it was. And Nancy Sparks came up to me with one in church the other day. So here you go for our object lesson. Are you all ready? This will astound you. I mean, I know this is going to blow your mind. Well, it's spring loaded. There's a little button on the bottom. So when you push the button, this little giraffe or whatever he is, he falls down. Can you see that? I was going to have Jack do a little video of and show you up there, but I forgot to do it. So, but then when you let the button up, boom, he immediately comes back and comes back to life. For my small mind, when I read this passage, quickened, that's what I think of, these little toys all the time. I used to have one when I was a kid. And so you just push that up and he goes down and he goes all limp because the spring is letting all the pressure off of it. But then he comes up. And that's about the way we were when we were quickened. That's what the Bible literally means, we were made alive. When you got saved, you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. And when the Spirit of God moved in, he breathed that life and you were quickened. And you say, is that a spiritual little toy you got? Not really. I don't think so. A little place in China that made it. I don't think they had that object lesson in mind. But thanks, Miss Nancy, for bringing that to me. So appreciate it. Well, now we're looking into the lesson we're going to get into tonight. We're looking at Colossians chapter number 3. The first four verses in our position in Christ, and we're looking here at this believer that you are, if you're saved, that here's where you are positioned. In verse 1 of chapter 3, "If ye then, being risen, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And so those of us that are in Christ, we're in this wonderful position that if you're in Christ, you're never going to get out of. You may be disobedient. Somebody said, "I've stumbled a lot of times on the rock, but the rock has never stumbled underneath for me." We may be disobedient sometime, but when you're in Christ, and I hope that comes clear as we look into it tonight, then we're in this wonderful position, but we are to set our affections and our desires on the things that don't reside down here. And if you're honest, we all have to say there's been a whole lot of setting our affection on the things down here. And it's not all been done by the people outside of these walls tonight. It's been done by us. And so I trust the Lord will help us now tonight as we look into this Bible study. Father, bless us is our prayer. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now in this time. Speak to us, change us, and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see that if ye then, being risen with Christ, and we understand that this really doesn't mean, well, if you are, it means since you are, and it's just one of those things. If you're going to be on that ball team, you might as well be one that gives it your all. If you're going to be in that workforce, and you might as well be one that works hard. If you're going to do that, you might as well do it. That's the idea here. If ye then, being risen with Christ, so since you're saved, since you're risen with Christ, say, "Pastor, I wasn't risen with Christ. That happened years and years before I lived." But we're going to get into it in just a little bit. Truly, when you were born again, it's as if you're dead, as it says in here, with Christ, but risen again, seated in heavenly places. And so if you're then risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above. I was talking with Brother Bob Bryant today, and you're talking about some preachers that he had watching on television, and the ones you were talking about, one of them was in heaven, one of them not yet. But one of them, maybe some that you will watch, Charles Stanley is one that he mentioned. Adrian Rogers is another one that is on a lot of different stations on the radio, at least. And these good men, they were ones that pointed people to Jesus Christ. And now their race is done, and they've gone on to see him. But if a pastor or speaker, evangelist, teacher, whatever it is, they're all supposed to point you to Christ. One evangelist that I read from today, actually preparing for this, he said that somebody had come up to him after a meeting that he had had, and he said, "Oh, brother so-and-so, I wore out the tape." That was back in the day, this cassette tape of the message that you preached about whatever. And they just kept on going on and on about that message, that tape. And he said, "Well, remember, the biggest thing about that tape is not the preacher that preached it, but it's the God, it's the Christ that that preacher was preaching about." Says, if you've all you've remembered is how good that is, then you've missed the message, because I didn't preach it so that you'd listen to me again and again. I preached it to point you to Christ, and that's the way we're all supposed to live. If you've got a complex where you're needing to try to point people to you, then you've got something all wrong, because we're supposed to put all of the glory toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So a writer here is saying, since you're that way, seek those things which are above. The apostle is not here saying, if you're risen with Christ, you need to come to my conferences. You need to make sure you listen. Make sure you read my book a lot. Make sure you read this letter that I wrote. He says, if you're risen with Christ, seek Him. Our mind and affection ought to be on heavenly things. We ought to seek. And that word seek literally means having an urgency, an ambition, a desire that I'm looking for that. I'm seeking, I'm seeking, I'm seeking, I'm seeking. We're supposed to have our minds on heavenly things. We see in verse number 1 and verse number 2. We see, the Bible says in verse 1, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Back in Psalms 110, it says, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." In Acts chapter 7, it says, "The Son of Man," when the deacon was looking into heaven, gleaning into the afterlife, they saw the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And we see the position of Christ is where we sit, because we are buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, and we see that we're in Christ. Well, since that's true, your marching orders are found in verse number 2. If the first verse applies to you, then the second verse is what you're commanded to do. If you're in Christ, then act like it. Isn't that what your mom said, your grandma, somebody? Well, act better. Act like it. You're a whatever your last name is, act like one. Or you're a senior in high school now, act like one. You're a high schooler now, act like one. You're an adult now, act like one, whatever. Well, that's what verse number 2 saying, basically. Act like one. If you're risen with Christ, if you're seated, Christ is seated on the right hand of God, and you've got all of that positional wonderful aspect in your life, then set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. The affection means your mind. Set your mind to it. That's what my mama used to say. You can do a lot of things when you set your mind to it. What does that mean? That doesn't mean you just think about it. That means you think about it, and you start planning to do it. I can tell you this, you and I can do a lot more when we set our mind to it than when we just let things happen by chance. A lot of people would love to be a millionaire that's hoping for the lottery to win but they don't play. A lot of people love to have something just dropped in their lap. But there's other people that says, "I want it so much, I'm going to set my mind, and my mind's going to get the message down to my hands, and my hands are going to go out and make it happen." You say, not without God, it's not. And that's true. But I mean, a lot of people with the Lord, and they still haven't gone and made that first million. But when you set your mind to it, It comes up that those hands follow and those feet follow. Set your affection, set your mind on the things that matter. Set your affection, your mind, put it on those things above. And you know, here's what happens every day in your life. I don't care how old you are. There's thousands of attempts to pull your mind from the things above. Like that one fella said, "Lord, I haven't cussed, I haven't spoken bad to anybody, I haven't," he went through a big long list of things, "I haven't done any of this yet today, but I'm getting ready to get out of bed. You're really going to have to help me from here on." And so when we have that setting our mind on the things above, it's going to be contrary to those thousands of things that are pulling your attention on the things below. It happened today, didn't it? It happens to us all the time, but it says not on the things on the earth. Phone calls come, gossip comes, bad news comes, difficulties come, flat tires come, leaks come, all kinds of things come, heat goes off, and you're looking for scrambling as Daniel was helping somebody today, scrambling to try to find heaters to keep everybody warm, and it just happens. But our mind ought to be set on heavenly things. Let's look at verse number 3. Now, not only do we see that our mind and affection are supposed to be looking up, but we see in verse number 3 the reason why, or the gist of it all, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our association that we have with this buried, risen again, alive forevermore Christ, this association directs our attention toward Him. Because as it said in verse number 2, set your affections. Why do we set our affections on things above? Because that's where the living Savior is. And this world that keeps trying to pull your attention, every ad that pops up on your Facebook page, or every commercial that comes on the television, or every interaction on a social media site or on some website, that they're all trying to just pull your attention. And it's not wicked stuff. I mean, I guess some of it is, but most of it's not. It's just stuff that somebody wants you to buy, what they've got, subscribe to their service. It's all those things, and you feel like you're just being hit all the day long. Hey, come do this, come do that, come do the other. Why am I not supposed to listen to most of those? Because I'm dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You can't tempt a dead man. You know the old dad joke when you go past the cemetery, how many people is dead there? I don't know, Dad, all of them. You can't tempt, you can't offend, and you can't entice a dead man. Well, the Bible says, set your affection on the things above. That's because that's where Christ is. That's where our Lord is. But also, don't be so tempted to the things down here on this earth, because we're supposed to be dead. Our association directs our attention toward Him. Our life, our old life, it's so crazy. We spend so much of our time fighting what we're supposed to be dead to, that we hardly have enough time to engage in what we're supposed to be alive to. The things that we sing a little bit about, it used to in junior church, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And if we were truthful, the things we used to do, I kind of still do some of those still. Because we still do some of the old gossip, some of that old things that used to be involved in back in your dead, we kind of resurrect them, we pull them back up, and we start doing them again now. We used to talk about people like dirty dogs before we were saved. Well, we kind of still talk about them now, even after we got saved. The Spirit of God resides in us, and we shouldn't talk that way anymore, and we shouldn't make fun of people. We shouldn't talk ill about them. We shouldn't bring out their faults. We ought to speak things that are pure, lovely, and honest, and good report, but we don't do that. Oftentimes, we go back to the other, and why shouldn't we do that? Because that's going back to where we used to live. That's going back to those dead actions, or that dead life, and that dead life that we used to be involved in should not dictate what we do now, but it oftentimes does. Look back at chapter 2, verse number 20. We looked at it just a week or so back. In many ways, this verse is reiterating what it says over there. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, or as I mentioned before, since you're dead with Christ, since if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, remember that's the principles, the ABCs of the world, the things that they consider normal, that's just the things everybody knows. If you're dead from those rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? If you're dead to those rudiments of the world, those principles, those ABCs, the general basic understandings of the world, the unsaved people, if you're supposed to be dead to that, why are you giving it so much thought? And wouldn't that be true in our Christian life as well? You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Our new life is in Christ. Everything you need is there. And when we're going to look at verse number 4, but I'm going to come back to verse number 3 in just a second. When Christ, who is our life, that's supposed to, he's not a portion or a part or a subject or a section of it. He's our life. He's everything. Now back in verse number 3, so it's hid with Christ in God. Had to come back this one because I got a great illustration. You've seen ladies before when you say, do you happen to have something? And she plops this big old purse up there on the counter. I got it in here somewhere. And she's pulling out power tools and drills and kayaks, and she's pulling out, sinks from way back when, and baby shoes and unused diapers, and she's pulling out all this stuff. I know it's in here somewhere. Well, it's amazing what I've seen ladies pull out of their purses. It is probably is in there. You may not have the 15 hours to wait till she finds it, but it's down there. Well, it's in there. Well, your life in Christ, all that you need, it's in there. Amen. If it ain't in there, we don't need it. You say, I can't find any gossip down there. That's right. He doesn't want it in there. But everything we need, your life is hid. Y'all ever, all of you done it before. You know, you got a mower and you run over one of those little nylon strings. And you run it for a little while, and it wraps all around that thing. Well, not only wraps around there, it gets all tangled up, but then it runs long enough that it kind of starts melting that nylon string. By the time you get it stopped and you get your knife, you can't hardly see those strands of one string to another, because not only is it wrapped around there 1,000 times, but that heat's also kind of taken those fibers, and it's just mended them together like it's welded. It's just in there. Where does Christ stop and you begin in your Christian life? It's supposed to just be all mended in there, molded, melded together, because I'm in Christ. You couldn't get me out with a surgeon's scalpel. I'm in there. And so the scripture says, when you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm going to give you the last one before we leave, and we're looking at verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, which we alluded to briefly, shall appear, his appearance ought to be first on your mind. It ought to consume your life. Ought to be thinking about it. I'm ashamed that sometimes in the mornings it takes you a little while to where I realize, wait a minute, it could be today. I don't remember what evangelist it was, but used to have a little tie-tack or lapel pin, and their slogan for one of their ministries was, perhaps today, is Jack Van Impe or somebody like that, I don't remember who it was, but that slogan, perhaps today. I don't know about all I'm not endorsing whoever it was, I can't remember who it was, but that's a good slogan, perhaps today. So the scripture here is talking about not only the rapture, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. We see that he is coming back. We see the Lord himself back over in 1 Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. He is coming back. Coming back to the clouds, and then we'll return with him. Therefore, shall we ever be with the Lord. But then over in Revelation 19, 20, 21, somewhere there, he's coming back again. And the first time, it wasn't known by everybody. A lot of folks are just kind of oblivious. But this time, they all going to see what's happening. Amen. He's going to have a whole passel load of people behind him, too. It'll be the folks coming as we do in glory with him. So the scripture says that then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus told his disciples, John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, you know what he said? I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And the most wonderful promise in all of Scripture, that where I am, you all can be too. That's the West Virginia version. Y'all's going to be there too. Where I am, there may ye be also. His appearance, it ought to consume our lives. It's wonderful to think about the position that you hold as a believer. It's not just, well, I'm not going to church right now, or I am going to church right now. It's much deeper than that. I meet people all the time. They say they're saved, but they're out of church. It's not right. You ought to be in the church. Christ died for the church. The Bible says he gave himself for it. I'd be involved. I'd be in there. But that's not what I'm talking about. So, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. He's really intertwined with that church. He's doing so many jobs. He's doing this. He ushers. He teaches. He does it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being intertwined with this church. It does go hand in hand, all that. I'm talking about being intertwined with Christ. And I believe that person intertwined with Christ, he's going to be intertwined. She's going to be intertwined with the church that Jesus loves. But that's a secondary intertwined aspect. For if you're dead, your life is literally hid. Y'all played hide and seek, right? All of us have. Get a good hiding spot or some dumb co-players with you, people playing with you. You want to be the smartest person, you know? You get a good hiding spot because you want to blend into the surroundings. Scripture says that you're hid with Christ. Because what's the Bible says that we're safe in his hands and his hands in the Father's hand. And then in this passage it says your life is hid with Christ in God. Friend, I don't know of a better place to be hid than that. When the storm clouds come, when the troubles come, the difficulties come, I'm hid so far down in there. A stray bullet couldn't hit me because I'm so safe down in there that I'm beyond contented. So our wonderful position, we know that this is the place that God gives us to reside in. It's a wonderful thought. One of these days, we'll get to see him. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. I think we put it in your conclusion there. One of these days, we'll get to see him. But until then, through Scripture, we have the confidence to know that we're buried with him, risen to walk in newness of life, raised to walk in newness of life. I'm hid in him. Long as he's okay, I'm okay. Amen. You know how long he's going to be okay? Forever. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray for every believer that's listening or watching or here in the seats. Lord, if they're saved, may you just have emboldened their faith because we're hid with you. And Lord, if there's one that's watching or in this room that's not sure that they're in Christ, they're religious, but they're not sure that they're hid in Christ. They're not saved. Lord, I pray that you'd show them tonight their need for their salvation. And Lord, we'll certainly thank you for it all and bless your name because of it. Amen. Would you stand together with us as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Going to ask Brother Dan to come and lead us in that hymn, Softly and Tenderly. It's number 295 if you want to look, or maybe they'll put it up on the screens. If God's dealing with your heart, though, I invite you to come. If there's some heaviness on your heart and you need somebody to pray with you, be glad to do that. You need to be saved. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me.
Thank you so much. You may look this way. I'm going to ask you to be seated, and I just want to, we want to share one last thing with you before you leave. And there's many things that as a pastor I love to get to announce. But then there's other things that I hate, like losing my dearest possession. And so this sometimes comes good times, sometimes it comes bad times, but all the time God is in control and God's good. So with that being said, Brother Dan's going to come and share something with us, and I want you to be praying for him.
In the life of every minister of the gospel, there comes a time when you must practice what you preach. If I preach and teach on faith, then I must trust the substance of things hoped for and be okay with the evidence of things not seen. If I teach on trusting God, then I also must confide in the fact that He knows exactly what He is doing and allowing in my life. If I also teach on obedience, then I too must obey. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not always our thoughts. But then it also says in 1 Peter, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. All that being said, what are you saying, Brother Dan? It's with a mixture of sadness and joy that I share with you this evening that there is a church that has been considering Brother Dan as a pastor and Carmen as his sermon writer. I'm just teasing about that. And for some time now, and we told them when they first approached us, it's not something that we were looking for. It's just something that totally caught us off guard. But I said, well, if the Lord opens the doors, we'll walk through them as He opens the doors. And we did. So that's why I say it is with sadness and also some joy mixed in there about what God would have for us. This past Sunday, the church voted, and they voted to receive us, to receive me as their pastor. And so I come to you this evening and just tell you that it has been a true honor and a privilege, and I mean that. Words almost don't do it justice and cannot describe everything that we feel in our heart. But it has been an honor and a joy to serve alongside each and every one of you. And it's just been a great joy from you allowing me to teach and preach and share the Word of God with you. That is an honor and a privilege. To you allowing me to act like a fool up here and lead you in singing, choir, allowing me to lead them in music. And it has been a true honor and a joy. Friendships have been made, and these are lifelong friendships, of course, and we thank God for that. Looking forward, if I am to trust that God has paved the way and has gone before me, and if I am to trust that this is what God would have me to do, then I also must trust that He has already gone behind me and has paved the way behind me where I've had the privilege of serving. So, again, the Lord has asked me to do this, not something that we sought. And if I'm to preach it and teach it, then I must also follow His leading. And so we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for taking in somebody you didn't know and didn't know what they were going to act like. And you allowed us to serve alongside you, and it has been a true honor and a true joy to do that. Pray for us, and I'll say something that I've mentioned to each and every one of you who have been very gracious in complimenting certain things along our journey here. Pray I don't mess it up, and pray that God will do what he has done and will continue to do, and that is work through each and every one of us as we serve him and as we honor him with our lives. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, as I mentioned, as an announcement that as he made that I didn't want to make or have made it, regardless of who did it, because not only is Brother Dan a wonderful man of God and a very capable pastor, and but also one of my dearest friends. And so we have had it made. I'm not sure about him, but I have certainly had it made to have somebody that I loved so much. The Bible talks different times about Jonathan and David, and then it talks also about other men that were just complimented one another, and just the Lord put them together, as you've had good friends like that. And so Brother Dan and I have been that way, and we've known each other for these many years, and we got to serve together before, and it was not a lifelong dream. We didn't know him, but since we've known each other in Iowa 25 years ago or so, it's just been a long-standing dream that I would get to serve together with him. And so the Lord put that together, and I was certainly hoping that it would just be for years to come, that we would retire out and go, go on cruises together or whatever. I don't know what we're going to do, play whatever that game where you do that or something. I don't know. And so it didn't work out that way. And so to anybody that might say, well, boy, oh boy, what are you going to do? The Lord will help us. The Lord is, strong and gracious, and he knows what's going to happen. Before I got this bad news, the Lord already knows what he was going to do. So we'll just seek the Lord, trust God for the next step. I know one thing we'll be doing, we'll be praying for Brother Dan and Miss Carmen as they go through these doors that the Lord has opened. Just because we don't like something doesn't mean we don't pray that God would work and bless. I like it, and the fact he's following God, I just don't like where he's leading him away from us, but that's the Lord's business. And so I want us each to commit to pray for him and support him, and just be a gracious send-off to him. And the reason that we are doing this tonight, it's hopefully the word will get around. I don't want to have to tell everybody a thousand times, but we will be able to have him this week and then the next Sunday, and then I think he's expected over there the following, as if I'm not mistaken. So unless things change, we just have a couple weeks with him from tonight. And so I want us to be praying for him, seeking the Lord on his behalf, and just asking God to bless us here and lead, guide, and direct in that. So thank you so much for your patience, your love, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful time together, and so I want us to be lifting them up. So God bless you. Let's all stand together. Nothing like sucking the air out of a room, but it was Brother Dan's idea, not mine, so we'll blame it on him. God bless you. You're dismissed.